Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. I'm your host, Rachel Zimmerman. Hope you guys all had a really great week. I definitely did. You know, earlier this week, I actually tweeted, or I X'd. It's so awkward to say X'd. I'm sorry. I'm just going to continue to say tweeted, even though it's X now instead of Twitter. But I tweeted out, I'm having a great morning. Time to nip that in the bud by going online. But isn't that the truth? Like, we spend so much time on our phones and caught up in like the digital universe without paying attention to what's going around us in real life. I do anyway. I'm certainly very guilty of that. So it was Wednesday morning. I was having like a really great day. And then I realized, oh, I haven't been on my phone. That's why I feel so good. So I need to challenge myself to stay off of the internet and stay off of my phone more, especially in the mornings, because you could really tell that day the difference that it made. I have a great show for you today, guys. I'm going to talk to Ellie Lax and Jay Weiner. They are from the Gentle Barn. Maybe you've heard of the Gentle Barn here in St. Louis locally, and then they have a couple of other locations. Ellie has a new book out called Cow Hug Therapy. She is an animal lover. She's worked with animals for a very long time, and we just have a great conversation. I'm excited for you guys to hear it, and Jay works with her at the Gentle Barn too, so they're a great duo. Their interview is coming up next, but before we get into this, I wanted to talk about something cool I saw in the Post-Dispatch this week. Maybe you saw it too. It was on STLtoday.com anyway. And they went through and they highlighted several St. Louisans' perfect day in St. Louis. So people like Joe Edwards, people like Deshara Jones, the mayor, and many others shared what would be their perfect day in the city of St. Louis. And I thought, hey, nobody's asking for this, but I'm going to offer up my perfect day in St. Louis too. Just because I love this city, I love living here, and I am a city resident. I have lived in the city since 2016 and really enjoy it. So anyway, here's my perfect day in St. Louis. So in the morning, I'm going to start my morning with like a workout or a walk at one of our amazing parks. Parks are going to be a theme in my perfect day in St. Louis. I think we have some of the, it's not like I've spent a lot of time in other cities' parks, so I'll admit that right off the bat, but I love going to any park. St. Louis has so many amazing ones, but I'm going to start my theoretical day here at Lafayette Square Park, which is, it's definitely a contender for my favorite in the city. It's so beautiful. It's nice and compact, but there's still so much to do. And I love that it's a square, just like Lafayette Square. And, you know, I just walked approximately a mile, maybe a little less, whenever you circle it. But you go through the park and there's, you know, they have the ponds and the swans and they have, you know, the playground for the kids, and then there's the bridge. There's just so many wonderful things about Lafayette Square and Lafayette Park. If you've never been, please go check it out. So I'm going to start my day with a little walk, a little workout at Lafayette Square Park. Then I'm going to head further downtown and get breakfast. And I agonized over this too because there's so many great places to get breakfast, but I'm going to go with Chris's at the Docket right across the street from my work. Just the best BLT and fries that you can get. So I'd get a BLT, I'd get fries, and I'd get some other coffee. And I usually drink black coffee, but for some reason, I always use half and half at Chris's at the Docket. I don't understand why, but it's so good. It just hits. And then if I'm being really, if it's really a perfect day, I'm probably also going to get a short stack of pancakes along with that, right? So then, since I'm in the area, I'm going to walk over to Central Library to just browse. Central Library is so gorgeous. Again, if you've never been, just stop in and see for yourself. We are so lucky to have these things in the city of St. Louis. So I'm going to go over to Central Library, check it out for an hour or so. Then I'm going to walk to City Garden and just enjoy City Garden. I mean, what more needs to be said? They had their revamp recently, and it's so beautiful down there. There's so much amazing art, and I love that we just have this little jewel like in the middle of downtown St. Louis that we can go in the middle of the day and just enjoy, have lunch down there, whatever you want to do. So I'm going to City Garden at that point. But speaking of lunch, this was tough, but I made my decision. I'm heading back to Lafayette Square, and I'm going to Mayo Ketchup. Mayo Ketchup is at the corner of, I want to say that is, let me look it up on my phone really quick. Stand by. Okay, it is on Park Avenue. And It used to be Laredo, if you guys remember Laredo. That was a great little Mexican restaurant there for a while, but it turned into mayo ketchup maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and it is so good. I would get the Cubano, I would get red beans and rice, and I would just enjoy. The Cubano is the best Cuban sandwich I've ever had, is from mayo ketchup. It is so good. So that's what I'm doing for lunch. Then after lunch, the park trend continues, okay? And I'm heading to Forest Park, of course. I mean, Forest Park was a theme that popped up in like almost, or from what I remember, in a lot of people's perfect day in STL when I read this STL Today article. But I'm going to head to Forest Park. I always park at the World's Fair Pavilion. I don't know why. It's just a great place. It's a great home base for me. Then I'd walk to the art museum. Man, I still remember the first time I went to the art museum. My dad took me when I was probably 11 or 12. And I was just so blown away at all of the amazing artwork there. And again, we're just so blessed and so lucky to have these things in the city of St. Louis. So I'm going to spend an hour, 2 hours at the art museum. And then I'm going to head to the zoo, obviously. I don't even have to go into it with the zoo. We all know what it is. We are very blessed to have a free zoo in the city of St. Louis. Okay, since this is my perfect day in St. Louis, I'm not going to keep going. I'm going to be realistic here. At this point in the day, I'm going to head home to chill because I'm tired even just recounting all these things that I want to do. Like, hypothetically, I'm a little tired after all of this. So I'm going to head home and chill until dinner, spend some time at the apartment. And then for dinner, I want to try something new in my perfect day in St. Louis. And the place I decided to try for the first time in my little, you know, fake scenario here is I really want to try Rated Test Kitchen. I just haven't had a chance to get down there yet, but Rated Test Kitchen seems awesome. The chef seems amazing. He was just on with Carol Daniel for Listen St. Louis on PBS. I believe his name is, I follow him on Instagram. I should know his name. His name is, Chef JR. So Juan Rice. He just has an amazing story. He was on with Carol Daniel, like I said, and just kind of gave the rundown of like how he ended up at such a young age running this incredible restaurant. And I was so impressed by him. So in my perfect day in STL, for dinner, we're going to Rated Test Kitchen. And then for dessert, even though they're probably going to give us dessert at Rated, I want a second dessert because it is my hypothetical perfect day, right? So I'm heading back to Lafayette Square and I'm going to Bailey's Chocolate Bar and I'm getting a chocolate martini. They have several that you can choose from. I'm getting like a giant brownie and I'm just ending my day on a chocolatey note in my perfect day in STL. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that. If you have a perfect day in St. Louis in mind that you'd like to share, please tweet at me at RachelZSTL. I love to hear from you guys, especially about this show. It just really makes my day anytime someone lets me know that they've been listening. You can also follow me on Instagram, the same thing, at RachelZSTL. Yeah, let me know your perfect day in the city of St. Louis. I thought that was a really fun little activity, and that was cool, the Post-Dispatch, to do that. It was a fun read, so go check that out if you're a subscriber and you're able to do that. All right, up next, Ellie Lax and Jay Weiner from The Gentle Barn. They're going to talk about Ellie's new book, Cow Hug Therapy. You're listening to The Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. Thanks for listening to The Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. I'm so excited to welcome Ellie Lax and Jay Weiner from The Gentle Barn into the studio today. And Sky. Hi, Sky. But it's great to see all you guys. Thanks for joining me on The Rachel Zimmerman Show today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for having us.
Okay, so Ellie is an animal communicator and healing expert. I wanted to start by asking just the basic question for my listeners of what is an animal communicator?
An animal communicator is someone who uses intuition and has really exercised that muscle to be able to communicate virtually with animals anywhere around the world. All I need is a picture, their name, their gender, their age, and how long the person's had them and who they live with. And then I'm able to ask them a question, kind of clear my mind, sit in the silence until the answers come. And we can have long conversations, and that's including animals that are alive and animals who have passed away. I can talk to both of them.
That's really incredible. Can you describe the moment where you first realized you had this kind of connection with the animals?
You know, I've done it since I was a small child. So I actually don't remember not having it. I remember being 3 years old and toddling off barefoot into the woods and just sitting under a tree, and wild bunnies came and we hung out together. So I've always talked to animals and I've always heard them talk back to me.
That's really cool. What are some common misconceptions that people might have about animal communicators? Are there any?
Oh, I'm sure there's people out there that are very skeptical, think I'm crazy, probably associate me with a tree hugger, which I am. I love hugging trees and cows. But I would say that animal communication is not as scary and as foreign as it sounds. It's just using basic intuition. And so when you talk about people who, I'm sure you've had this experience where the phone has rung, but you haven't looked at your caller ID yet, but you know who it is. Or maybe you think of someone and all of a sudden they reach out to you. Or you're traveling somewhere and you just have this feeling, oh, don't go down that road. That's just examples of intuition. We all have it. Every living being on this planet operates with intuition, and we're no different.
So speaking of hugging cows, the reason why you're on the program today is because you have a new book called Cow Hug Therapy, How the Animals at the Gentle Barn Taught Me About Life, Death, and Everything in Between. We will talk about the book in a moment here, but I realized at the start of the segment I forgot to plug that for you. So it's a gorgeous book. I'm really excited to read it. So you did mention, you know, when we talked about the common misconceptions, you know, some people might think you're crazy. How do you handle those doubts or criticisms?
You know, I think when I was younger, I really wanted people to approve. I wanted people to like me. I wanted to be normal. But I don't, you know, as we grow up, we realize there really isn't a normal. We're just us. And a lot of times when we look back in childhood and we look at what our gifts were and our talents and the things that made us feel alive, those are the very things that we're supposed to do. So from my earliest memories in childhood, I could hear and talk to animals. I loved nature. I wanted to heal animals that needed help. And so I grew up to do that. And I think everybody has things that we came here to do that when we remember and we do them, then we're living our dreams. So, I don't know. This is who I am. Take me or leave me.
That's beautiful. What are some of the most important messages or common messages that animals often try to convey to you when you're communicating with them?
Animals show me time and time and time again that when they pass away, they leave their bodies, but they actually don't leave us. And over again, animals are showing me, I'm still with my people. This is the song they sing to me, or I'm with the people. They just did this vacation, or they just got this new puppy. They're giving me proof of how they see us and hear us and are still connected to us. And I think that's really helpful because I think most animal lovers, obviously animals have a shorter lifespan than we do. And when they pass away and we can't see them anymore, it's so painful. But to hear from these animals that have transitioned that they're actually still connected to us, I think brings a lot of relief. The other things that animals show me is the little things that they love. You know, maybe it's a dog showing me their favorite orange Nerf ball that they play with in the pool, or another dog showing me the baby talk that their people do to them that makes them feel special or pretty. It's the little details of how we shower our affection and love onto these animals that they take with them and that they appreciate.
Ellie, thank you so much for sharing what you do. I'm super excited to read the book now. Let's bring Jay into the conversation and talk about the Gentle Barn, because you don't just communicate with animals, you also rescue animals. Tell my audience about the Gentle Barn and what you guys do.
Sure, absolutely. The Gentle Barn is we're on our 25th year this year. Wow. In August. Ellie's dream since she was 7 years old was to have this amazing place where we rescue animals from abuse and neglect and slaughter, and we rehabilitate them and give them the life that they needed to have or should have had from the beginning. And once they're rehabilitated, we connect them with children and adults of all walks of life that need support and healing and help in their lives.
Very cool. How has the Gentle Barn grown and expanded? Like, where did you guys start out and where are you now? How have you expanded?
Well, the Gentle Barn started in Los Angeles, California. We were in a small half-acre property in Tarzana, which is a small, city in the valley. And we grew from there after a few years into Santa Clarita Valley, which ended up being a 5-acre property. And then we were able to expand even further into Tennessee and then here in Missouri.
Yeah. Can I ask why St. Louis?
We were called in to support a rescue of the St. Louis Six, we call them, which were six cows that escaped slaughter by crashing through three fences to then run through the streets of St. Louis, which a lot of people are familiar with.
Mm, right. Okay. So that's how you ended up in St. Louis. How do you hope that the Gentle Barn influences the treatment of animals? I mean, I assume that's the main reason you do what you do, is you want other people to learn about this and kind of change their behaviors.
Most of us live in a city and don't have exposure to farm animals. And if we live in more rural areas and are exposed to farm animals, there are farm animals that are bought and sold and kind of used for human consumption. So in sanctuary, we're able to see these animals live their natural lives. They get to fall in love. They get to have babies. They get to raise their family. They get to interact with one another. And they get to teach us extraordinary life lessons. And so Jay and I have had a front row seat at the Gentle Barn watching these farm animals as they should live for 25 years. And we've seen them celebrate life and birth. We've seen them mourn death. We've seen them support one another. We've seen them meditate and raise each other's babies. We've seen extraordinary stories. And the reason I wrote Cow Hug Therapy and the reason we have Gentle Barns in three locations is because we're hoping people can come out and see who these animals are. Get a cow hug, cuddle a turkey, have a chicken cradled in your arms, give a pig a tummy rub, learn their language, see their personalities and their affection, and fall more deeply in love with who these animals really are.
Ellie, have you ever had anyone come to you and say, I you know, before I didn't feel anything, but now I feel like I can start to communicate. Have you ever had anyone ask you for help in communicating with animals or to help them get started down that path?
Yes, absolutely. There's so many, you know, as animal lovers, we meet a lot of animal lovers and empaths and kind of more spiritual people at the Gentle Barn. And they're constantly saying, oh my God, like I have this dog and he just stares at me and I wish I knew what he was saying. Or people that just have fear of animals and they want to get over it. Or people that have never been exposed to animals and want to connect more deeply but don't really know how. And at the Gentle Barn, people can do all of that. They can connect more deeply with animals, they can learn more about animals, and they can learn to open up their intuition, absolutely.
You referenced these extraordinary stories that you've been able to see play out at the Gentle Barn. I'm wondering, what are some of the most rewarding moments, maybe some animals in particular, but some of the most rewarding moments you've had since starting the Gentle Barn?
I'll tell you that the St. Louis Six experience was one of the most meaningful for me. You know, we were called in actually by David and Kelly Backus. So David Backus played for the Blues, and they learned about this situation and asked us to come in and get involved. And, you know, when I got here and they had been corralled back into the slaughterhouse and they had lost all of their time. So it was going to be that morning. I got there just in time, you know, seeing it immediately change from this dire situation to this, you know, really rewarding and life-saving relationship with these animals was just, you know, magical. And for me, the description of what that looks like as far as, you know, like a full circle experience is you see these animals in these dire situations, you get them out of that situation, whatever it takes, and then you bring them home and you rehabilitate them. And Ellie's magical with all the different kinds of healing modalities we brought into the organization. And, you know, then you watch them go through this healing. And once they're through, then you have this child or this person who comes into the organization who just has so much that, you know, they haven't received as support in their lives, right? They just have gone through so much. And they come into the organization and they get partnered with this animal or animals that have gone through the same exact situation that they're going through. And watching the end result be so positive, it's so life-fulfilling and so, you know, acknowledging of the work that you do every day you know, to have that moment, you know, it fuels you for everything else that you're working on. And I loved how Ellie just said, you know, that we have a front row seat. I mean, that's the front row seat for me, watching that process, you know, from horrible situation to absolute, you know, healing moments.
It's got to be extremely rewarding. I have to ask, this question is for both of you. What you do is so noble, but it's got to be difficult too, because these animals aren't as around for as long as us. How do you manage some, you know, the emotions that come along with caring for animals with this way? How do you emotionally prepare yourself?
I write a lot about that in my book, Cow Hug Therapy, the loss, the grief, the goodbyes that we've said too many times to count. When I started the Gentle Barn, Jay and I knew we were going to love these animals. We knew that we were going to heal these animals. We knew we were going to partner with the animals when they're ready to heal hurting humans. But what I didn't factor into the equation was how many times we're going to have to say goodbye. Every animal that comes in through the doors of the Gentle Barn and that we love and we make promises to, only several years later, we're saying goodbye. And I had to come up with a different way to see death in order to survive the work that we're doing and have it not kind of eat us alive. And I write a lot about that in my book. And my greatest teachers about how to see death differently and how to grieve and how to walk animals home when it's their time to pass has been taught to us by animals. We had this beautiful cow named Buttercup, and she had a baby son who was born underdeveloped because of a cruelty case she had been through. We rescued her in her last trimester, so all the nutrition that we were doing wasn't enough to resuscitate her son. When she gave birth to her son, he was underdeveloped, and he only lived 7 months. And I was trying everything I could to save him and tell him to get stronger and, come on, you can make this. And the way that she walked over to him, licked his neck, whispered in his ear that it was okay to go, and literally walked him home as he took his final breaths. She modeled for us how to do this work. When there are dying animals, whether it's at the end of their life and they're old, whether it's animal that comes in and no matter what we do, we can't save them. How do you share that moment with them? How do you be brave and courageous for them? How do you put your own emotions aside so that they feel safe to die? Buttercup showed that to us. The cows do these amazing circles where they come together in a circle when someone is being born and everybody lines up to say hello to that baby. When someone's passing away, they form the same circle and the matriarch will step forward and rest her her chin on that animal's side, and she'll close her eyes and she'll spend several minutes there paying her respects and saying goodbye. And then she'll walk back into that circle and let the next person have a turn, or cow. And every member of that bovine family takes a turn to honor the one that has passed away and say their last farewells. When someone's grieving, like if someone loses a mother or a sibling or whatever, and they're grieving, those cows come and form the same circles around them to support them. They're a beautiful community. And the way that they are present for loss and grief, the way that they cry for as long as they need to, the way that they support each other, they have so much to teach us in our culture, to talk about death, to know how to handle it and deal with it. In our culture, most of us just go to work the next day and try to brush it off, and that's never going to work. So the cows are here and our other animals are here to really teach us to walk our animals home when it's time with courage. Once they're laid to rest, to really honor our own grief and immerse ourselves into the pain of that, and then allow others to embrace us and support us in community.
It wasn't as pretty for me. Ellie, I've learned a lot from Ellie on, and I think through Ellie really is the way to say it, because, you know, this is really coming from, you know, her connection with the animals. But when I had my first experience with losing an animal, it was actually a rooster that I had gotten very close with, and his name is Mr. Olaf. And Mr. Olaf would run to me and peck at my feet, and if I didn't pick him up, he would keep pecking until I picked him up. And I would then put him down and go do something else, and he'd run over and he'd peck my feet and pick him up. And he was just a sweet guy. Long story short, he ended up passing away. And I remember this just absolute feeling of anger. You know, I didn't really know how to process it. I hadn't had a lot of loss that I had dealt with in my life before the Gentle Barn, you know, and maybe a couple, you know, grandparents and things like that. But I was young and I was a little removed, right?
Right.
But in this situation, I felt all of it wash over my body, and I was so angry. Ellie was almost at the point of going like, what's wrong with this guy? You know, because we had just sort of met. I was volunteering. It was just the beginning. And but now, after this process of really acknowledging the fact that there's something else and that there's, you know, a way to, you know, see them through in a positive light. And that experience that I was with Ellie, you know, for this circle of I've seen it so many times now, where these animals circle around each other and they're just a community and they're there for each other. And, you know, it's one of the things that really just, makes them look almost, you know, just human to me, you know. I've learned so much from Ellie and from them that it's become easier. Compassion fatigue is a real thing. I love how Ellie talks about those situations in the book. I'm pretty jazzed by the book myself, even though I lived it. And I think that you can learn a lot from it in that respect.
Thank you both for sharing your experiences. I'm sure that's extremely comforting for a lot of people listening. It's comforting for me. I have a cat named Lucy who is like, she's like my little world. Like, and I think about her passing away and I get a lot of anxiety and a lot of just like dread. But hearing that from both of you is comforting, and just knowing like you just live through it and she's always going to be with me. That is, thank you, is what I'm trying to say.
There's one other thing that Ellie says a lot, which I really love, is she says that your animals are always with you.
Right.
And I think that made me feel better in some of those situations as well.
So the book is Cow Hug Therapy. Tell me about what made you want to write and publish this right now.
So it's kind of like what I said before. Jay and I have a front row seat to how these animals are supposed to live, their love affairs. I mean, we had a turkey that was in love with a goat. And every single day, and it wasn't that the goat loved all turkeys, and it's not like the turkey loved all goats. It's this specific turkey named Son loved this specific goat named Gus. And every single day they would find each other and they would close their eyes and kind of huddle up together. And they were, I don't know, they were having some kind of like private conversation and no other animals intruded on their space. We had a turkey that loved music help a mute girl to talk again. We had a horse named Sasha help a boy who was quadriplegic and kind of pushed in the corner at school. And that horse groomed his cheeks until he laughed and laughed and laughed. And she pulled him out and she pulled out his personality. And we were able to use feeding Sasha carrots in an effort to get mobility in his right arm. And everyone around him kind of treated him like he didn't have a personality, but Sasha pulled him out and then everybody saw, oh my God, he has a sense of humor. He has a personality. He's a person. We have extraordinary stories. I mean, I could fill 10 novels with it. These stories need to be told. People need to understand who these animals really are, and we want to share them with the world.
What's it like when you're sitting down to write page one? What's that feeling like?
Yeah, that is a really weird feeling because you're like, where do you start?
Oh, come on. You've never been stuck on page one. She's always like on page 25 when she gets started.
No, but it's like, you know, where do you start? Do you start at the beginning, the middle, the end? Whose story do you choose?
Yeah.
But, you know, writing a book is a really cathartic experience because it's not something I had to think about. It's not something that I had to research and figure out what to write. It's really something that poured itself through me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very intuitive process. It's a very connected and rewarding process where this book and these animals just kind of poured themselves through me onto the page. And I had really good editors and I have a wonderful publisher, New World Library, that really helped all these stories and the book shine.
Where can people get your book? I know Left Bank Books.
My book, Cow Hug Therapy, is available on Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, anywhere books are sold. And people can get actually a signed copy at the Gentle Barn website, gentlebarn.org.
Yeah, and speaking of the Gentle Barn, how do those interested in the Gentle Barn get involved with you, volunteer, or even just visit?
So the Gentle Barn is located in Los Angeles, California, St. Louis, Missouri, and Nashville, Tennessee. Please, listeners, come out and hug a cow, cuddle a turkey, give a pig a tummy rub, hear their stories of resilience, and realize that we got a lot in common with animals. If you live too far away or can't quite make it out yet, read the book. Follow the Gentle Barn on all social media platforms where you can meet the animals and really see their beautiful stories and personalities. And of course, we can't do this work without the community really being our partner and helping us. So if you want to go to thegentlebarn.org and donate, help us like sponsor an animal, help us rescue the next animal that comes our way, we can't do this work without your support.
Ellie and Jay, thank you so much for joining me and sharing your perspective today. And Ellie, we look forward to more books in the future. Thank you both so much.
Thank you
for having us.
Welcome back to the Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. Thank you guys so much for listening. And hopefully you really enjoyed my interview with Ellie Lax and Jay Weiner from The Gentle Barn. Ellie's book, again, is called Cow Hug Therapy. If you'd like to pick up a copy, I have one myself, and I'm very excited to read it. So thank you, Ellie and Jay, for coming on to the program. That was just a really, really fun conversation. And I talked about my cat a little bit there. I try not to talk about her too much on the radio because people probably think I'm insane. But I love my cat so much. Her name is Lucy, as I said in the previous segment. And I do worry about losing her. But just having that conversation with them kind of calmed my nerves a little bit about that. And, you know, it's a part of life. And it's just something you kind of have to accept. And just knowing that our animals are always going to be with us, even when they're gone, you know. That's important. So really enjoyed my conversation with them. If you missed any part of the show today and you'd like to catch up, you can always podcast the show on the Odyssey app or really anywhere else you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Podbay. Is that a thing? That sounds kind of right. But the Odyssey app is great because you can stream KMOX on the Odyssey app. You can pause. You can rewind. You can even listen to podcasts and shows that you don't hear on KMOX. We have a huge library of different things that you can check out. So the Odyssey app is free. It's easy to download. And it's great if you're in an area where you don't really have a great radio signal. You will get crystal clear coverage because you are listening online. So they make it really easy. Go download it today if you are interested in the Odyssey app. So started the show by talking about my perfect day in St. Louis. Again, if you have ideas in mind for your perfect day in St. Louis, give me a shout on Twitter at RachelZSTL. I would love to hear like your rundown of the perfect day in the city. But I have a couple of St. Louis headlines here that we can talk about. Speaking of Forest Park, the first ever basketball courts at Forest Park opened on Tuesday. This is so cool. It's been a long time coming. I know they've been working on this for several years now. And we talked about it on the DGS a little bit this week. And Kevin Wheeler was saying, like, I can't believe there weren't already basketball courts in Forest Park. I feel like a lot of people felt that way and felt that it was time to build them. So they're up. I know they had a really rainy day on Tuesday whenever they were, I don't know if it was a ribbon cutting, but it was, a welcome ceremony for the basketball courts. And I saw some nice video of some gentlemen out in the rain shooting hoops. That was pretty cool. So really happy that the first ever basketball courts have opened at Forest Park. Okay, here's another story for you. This is awesome. Four red wolf puppies were recently born at the St. Louis Zoo, and these are some of the most endangered wolves in the world. So it's very cool that we were able to have some born at the St. Louis Zoo, and we will have some here. Let's see. Their names are Otter, Molly, Finn, and Obi, and they were all born on May 4th. They are healthy and thriving at their first checkups. They had their first checkups late last month, and they're going to remain with their parents for at least 2 years. So they'll be at the St. Louis Zoo for at least 2 years, but then they may be sent to other zoos to start their own packs to continue the population's growth. But this is very cool that we have some red wolf pups at the St. Louis Zoo. It's just happy, nice news that I am thrilled to share with you guys on the Rachel Zimmerman Show. All right, guys, that's it for me this week. Again, if you missed any part of the program, go podcast the show. I love everybody who podcasts. I have pretty good podcast numbers, and it's thanks to you guys. I really, really appreciate it. I'm out of here. I hope you have an amazing weekend. Bye.